You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
Okay, let's dig right into what we just heard from Jerry DePoto. If you were listening, let's see if we can get through this together. There was a lot in there, and I'm not going to have time to go through each piece of it, but I think that what I come away with is a few like main takeaways and observations, and I'll play you two cuts from him here that I think really tell a lot of the story of where they're at and where they want to go. First of all, this is hard. They're not playing well. Jerry essentially said they're not playing well in any facet of the game. They're not pitching well. They're not hitting well. I guess their defense, has sort of been the one thing, but the process has gone away. I thought that was another really key element. Not just that the results weren't coming the way they wanted, but that the process had deteriorated quite a bit and that they weren't taking as many pitches and they weren't walking as much and their pitchers were walking too many guys. They were losing their control of the strike zone, which is right at the core of Jerry's philosophy of how they built this thing. And you get it, right? You start pressing. I make the golf analogy to him and I'd make it again. Everyone who's ever played golf knows what this is like. I have a plan. I can only, like, I want to, you know, lay up. I want to do this and that. I want to make sure I hit my 8-iron from 150 or whatever. And then I hit a bad shot and I'm like, well, I'm 220 out. Might as well take out a hybrid and see if I can get there. Mm-hmm. Well, of course I'm not going to get there. I'm going to screw it up. And now I'm going to turn my five, my bogey, into a triple. I do it all the time. Right?
True.
Like we all do. Any golfer sort of knows what I'm talking about. And I understand what he's saying. Guys start pressing. They're trying to hit a five-run home run. And then the next thing you know, it goes the other way against them. And by the way, the pitchers realize that they have a very thin margin for error. And so they try to avoid giving up the one run and they get too cute. And the next thing you know, you've given up a three spot or a five spot. And you can't play baseball that way.
Right. That patience is the process isn't working this way right now.
It's not working for this team. So you can hear the frustration. And I love what he said. Their job is not to be frustrated. Their job is to try to figure out how they can help. How can they help these players get the most out of themselves? Because they believe, like Jeff Passan believes, like John Morosi believes, that this is still a pretty talented roster with a lot of success still inside of it. How can they unlock some of that potential? And I asked him about the life preserver he had mentioned a week ago. He said, we will use the minor leagues as a life preserver. So I asked him if he was still just as convicted about doing that.
No question. Even more so. And you are quoting it correctly. And, you know, just it help the player, you know, where meet them where they are. And you know, unfortunately, we have had such a rough stretch and such an inability to manage that roster because of some of the factors I just discussed that we haven't had the opportunity or even realistically the chance to provide them with that breather or that reset. And we have to figure out how, because we have a number of players that need it, and we have to do the best we can to get them in a better place.
So, I mean, let's read between the lines. Who are those players? Jared Kelnick, Cal Raleigh. Right? I mean, like, there may be others, but very specifically, who are the players that right now you're running out week after week who have options available that can go to the minor leagues that need the help? Jared Kelnick and Cal Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need 40-man spots for them and you're not sure what's going on, Kyle Lewis isn't quite ready, do you need to keep Kelnick around for another couple of days before Lewis is ready, maybe when they go to Toronto? Maybe. Maybe it works out that way, and he heads down to the minors at that point. You know, do they need to make a deal to find another catcher or to find another one in the organization to put on the 40-man roster? You know, the 40-man is a little complicated, right? It's not, like you have a 26-man roster that are your active players. And then you have a 40-man, which includes players who are on the injured reserve, you know, IL rather, players who are in the minors who are on contracts that have forced them to put them onto the 40-man that avoids Rule 5. It's complicated. But you got 40 guys on there. And in addition to the 26 plus the guys on the injured list, you know, there's names like Justice Sheffield. Right, has been in the major leagues. When he goes back down there, he's on the 40-man roster. And if you needed to get him off of it, you would need to DFA him. So now you designate him for assignment, and you either need to trade him or put him through waivers. If he gets through waivers, you can put him back down in the minor leagues, but off of the 40-man roster. And you saw them do that earlier this week with Nick Margavichus. That's why Jerry said they made the move with Donnie Walton.
Uh-huh.
You're making moves in order to clear some space on the 40-man so that if you want to send Jared Kelnick down, you can bring somebody up like Steven Souza, who you would need to add to that 40-man roster. Does that make sense? So this is a big part of a GM's job. It doesn't get talked about nearly as much because it's not sexy. But when you see a trade like Donovan Walton yesterday, yeah, they're happy to get the 22-year-old pitcher from the Giants. But you heard Jerry tell you, yeah, we need the 40-man spot. And that tells me that there's probably a need either to bring in a catcher or to bring in Steven Souza, or more likely that they need to do both of those things. They don't have another catcher on their 40-man. It's Torrens, Raleigh, and Murphy. That's it. So if you want to bring in somebody for Raleigh while Murphy's on the IL, you don't have a choice. You got to add somebody to your 40-man roster, which means you got to take somebody away. So that's what Jerry's talking about when he says it. And of course, with today being an off day, this is often when moves get made. I asked him if we would see that.
Only if we're able to resolve some of the roster challenges that we're currently dealing with. And you know, it was a long night, you know, after the game last night, trying to figure out how we might be able to navigate the roster as we head into New York. You know, we also have the challenge of going to Canada on Monday. So, you know, another layer of information to try to manage here. So there are some moving parts that may allow us to do something in the next day or so, but you know, it's a minimally we have to look at all the different, I guess, available options for us to reset and give our team a different look in the short term. Mostly so we can get players we believe in back on track.
The end of that is a really big deal. Minimally, we need to change the look of the roster for short-term success and to help the guys that are struggling right now get a break. He couldn't be more right. And Jerry, it's funny, use the exact same words I used earlier. It's not punitive. You're not sending Jared Kelnick down because you're angry or blaming him for anything. It would be because you want to help him.
Because you believe in him and you want to help him.
And credit, you know, Jerry said the same thing. I love his defense. I love the effort. I love the base running. He's doing everything else that you need to do. He's a pro. Just got to hit. And they got to help him get on track in order to do that. So for me, a lot there from Jerry Dipoto. And yes, he does say they've got some players that are going to have vaccination issues when they get up to Toronto. There's been some speculation that Robbie Ray was moved around in the rotation in order to accommodate that. And it sounds like there may be others. I don't know that. I'm not confirming that. That's just sort of some of the speculation that's been out there of why else would you have moved Robbie Ray around in the rotation? So, you know, you kind of put all of that together and this is going to be a really interesting road trip. And an incredibly important one. Four games below 500, it's fine. You can deal with that. Come back in that same rough place. Go, what is that, 9-game trip, 10-game trip?
10.
Come back 4-6. You'll be okay. 6 games below 500 or end of May, that's okay. You can deal with that. Don't have another 2-8 road trip, right? Where all of a sudden you're 10 games below 500. And now it's a kind of a different spot that you're in. So Jerry's got to make some moves. He's got to find a way to get this done. And I'm sure that's going to take doing some difficult things with the 40-man roster. But very clear, they want to get it done, and they want to do it for the right reasons. We'll be right back. Tell you everything you need to know. Mike Salk Show here on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, things have been kind of getting away from the Mariners here over the course of this homestand. Kind of a big gulp kind of a moment after the loss yesterday, unfortunately. Logan Gilbert pitched well, but a little too cute to Rhys Hoskins. And the next thing you know, that's a four spot as he hits a grand slam. And similar to what Jerry Dipoto was just saying, right? You're trying to avoid the one run and you end up giving up the four. And that's sort of how it goes. So now off to the road, 10-game road trip through New York to play the Mets, who've been really, really good. And then up to Toronto, back to Boston. Scott Servais knows you got to hit.
Off day tomorrow. I think we've played 16 consecutive days. So we'll be off, regroup, long road trip ahead of us. But again, we got opportunity here for the guys to step up. And, you know, we need to hit on the road. I've always said you got to to win on the road. You got to hit on the road, so we need to pick it up offensively for sure.
They certainly do, and of course now we look at things in an off day like today. Jerry DePoto says they are considering some roster moves, some challenges with the 40-man roster, but if they can work through them, I feel like there's something very, very quickly on the horizon.
Only if we're able to resolve some of the roster challenges that we're currently dealing with. And you know, it was a long night, you know, after the game last night, trying to figure out how we might be able to navigate the roster as we head into New York. You know, we also have the challenge of going to Canada on Monday. So, you know, another layer of information to try to manage here. So there are some moving parts that may allow us to do something in the next day or so, but you know, it's a minimally we have to look at all the different, I guess, available options for us to reset and give our team a different look in the short term, mostly so we can get players we believe in back on track.
Yeah, and who would those players be reading between the lines? It's Jared Kelnick and Cal Raleigh, two guys that are struggling. And in order to find a suitable replacement, either Kyle Lewis would need to be healthy for Kelnick, or you got to make some 40-man moves, which is why you see a deal like yesterday trading Donovan Walton and why you may see some others coming as well. So I don't know whether Kelnick or Raleigh, they'll be able to make a move, but it sure sounds like that's what they're trying to do. And in the meantime, it sounds very promising on the Kyle Lewis front. Yeah, he's had some difficulty bouncing back, especially after playing the field, but while he won't be available, according to Jerry, in New York, a possibility that in the series in Toronto or maybe Boston, we may see the season debut for Kyle Lewis.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, schedule release day in the NFL. No Seahawks hard news yet, but it does sound like a very real possibility. Rumors are out there that they will be playing at home against Russell Wilson and the Broncos week one of the season. People very split on how to react. I got to tell you, 31% in my little Twitter poll here with 1,500 votes, so 31% say cheer, 35% say boo, and 34% will have no reaction. What do you mean no reaction? Russell Wilson shows up and you're like, I don't even know what to think. I screwed up. I never should have allowed a no reaction part of this poll. Very, you know, I might put out another one just to see where people are if I take out the no reaction thing. We'll find out when Bobby's returning as well, of course, with the Rams. We know about the Bucks game in Munich. We'll find out about Thanksgiving, Christmas, etc. Very interested to see how things go. We'll find out tonight at 5 o'clock.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Almost sneezed in between the two things you need to know, and I just was able to avoid it. So that's also something you need to know. I am, yes. Momentum building, it sounds like, for a DK Metcalf deal. Of course, they didn't do anything they didn't make a trade by the draft. So at that point, I think it became fairly likely that they would try to get something done in terms of a contract. Ian Rappaport says, yeah, things are heading in that direction.
They have laid the groundwork for where they want to be. They've also made it clear to DK Metcalf, Mike, that they want him to be there. And considering the fact that he showed up for offseason conditioning, whereas not all of the big time receivers did, it's clear he wants to be there as well. Still a ways to go, but Seattle's intentions are very clear. They want to make DK Metcalf one of the highest paid receivers in the NFL. They want to make sure he pays in Seattle, and they are at least headed down that road.
Yeah, that could be north of $23 million a year, so we'll see what that looks like. But I would agree. I think they'll probably get something done and get it done before training camp. NBA action. Grizz crushed the Warriors last night. They get back into that series and do it without John Morant, who is now considered doubtful for the rest of the playoffs. 21 points for three players. Series shifts back to Golden State. Warriors up 3-2. Bucks up 3-2 as well after beating the Celtics. They have the late game comeback this time and win it in the fourth quarter. And then three games in the NHL last night: Calgary, New York, Florida, all winners. There you go. It's everything you need to know.
I know you want to talk more about Jerry, so
it's a lot going on. Sorry, I'm out of breath. I got a sneeze. Yeah, the whole thing.
I know you could spend the next 4 hours talking about Jerry.
I probably could, but honestly, it's a lot of what I was already saying today. I mean, Jerry kind of confirmed a lot of what I was talking about this morning, but I'm not surprised. He said last week, I'm just using like what he said and trying to figure out what it means for the team. He told us last week he wanted to use the minor leagues as a life preserver for players who struggled. Since then, Jared Kelnick's continued to struggle. We thought a week ago they might make a move to help Kelnick. He had the home run, which was awesome. Incredible moment on Friday night. And other than that, he's continued to look the same. He struggled. So just use a little logic, like now's the time to use the life preserver if there's any way you can possibly do so in order to help the poor kid. He's doing everything else right, and Jared did a great job, I thought, of talking about that and saying it's not punitive. No one's mad at Jared Kelnick. And if he gets sent down to the minors, it's not his fault that the team is not winning right now. It's about getting the most out of the player. And in a situation where he's gripping the bat a little tight, and as Jerry's now admitted a couple of times, the loss of the COVID season in terms of his development is affecting him and lots of prospects his age. All right. Well, so go help the guy out, because that's as important as the long-term success of a player with an incredible amount of talent, which is exactly what Jared Kelnick is. And Cal Raleigh probably in the same boat. The dude just, I mean, you can't hit 050 in the major leagues. Like, you can't be on a team while you're hitting 050.
And maybe I missed it. Did you ask about Tom Murphy?
I did not, no. Okay. But we sort of heard that he will likely be on the trip with them and will likely return at some point
sort of
on
day-to-day
this trip
right now.
Yeah, he may even be back during the New York series. So, this may not be long enough. Maybe you can just kind of wait on Raleigh a couple of days. But it seems very clear, man. They want to try to help some of these guys out, and as they should. Like, it's the way to go. But if you got 40-man trouble, you got to figure out a way to work through it. Right. So I will be very, very intrigued. I'm going to guess later today or perhaps tomorrow, more likely tomorrow, we will see a little email flash across here or tweet or whatever that goes through a series of roster moves for the Mariners, because I think that's what you do when you have the off day. And as Jerry said, up late last night, trying to figure out the best way to work through it. Because what they're doing right now, by his own words, just not good enough. Again, the luck had been against them, and also then the play started to turn against them. Yeah. Where they weren't, the process was deteriorating. Not just the results, but the process. And I'm going to guess that's what has him more concerned.
Did somebody want to put an update on your Twitter poll?
Yeah, it's still basically even,
can
right?
Can cry be a reaction?
Cry? No, cry. I'm doing a redo in the Twitter poll. You get cheer or boo.
Okay.
This is ridiculous. Third of people saying they would do nothing. My gosh. Brock coming up next. Mike Salk Show on Seattle Sports.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a burner.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Well, good morning, Brock.
That hurts, Justin.
What?
Seriously. That hurts.
Which part?
Well, what about the illusion of complexity?
The illusion of complexity was going to be...
That was our band.
That was the name of the album.
That was the name of my album from Banana Family.
Oh, for Banana Family?
Yes. Banana Famine.
Oh, Banana Famine.
Yes.
So
I was thinking,
not Banana Fingers.
The arbiter of reality could be a better for like a solo rap career maybe than a band, because it's arbiter is a soul thing.
Yeah,
so arbiter
true,
is,
yeah.
If I plural it, maybe it works.
All right, I'm better now. Okay,
you're in the band, though, if you want.
Yeah, some of the text, Brock, coming in about the whole getting snipped thing is all over the map here. Yeah, literally 425 says, can we get a picture with Salk with a cone around his head on Monday like a dog? I mean, like, come on. And then Jason from Pasco says, is that the same Dr. Snip that works out of the parking lot of a vacant Kmart? All right, you know what?
Yep.
Guys, you're not making me feel better.
I'm trying to remember. Was it you? It may have been somebody else. I'm not even playing dumb here. I'm trying to remember. I think it was you that said Heather really didn't give birth because it was a C-section.
That was me, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That
no,
was you.
I didn't.
Okay.
Well, I didn't say she didn't give birth. I'm aware right. of the fact. But, like,
yeah.
that she didn't go through some of the
right,
pain
right.
associated
the
pain. With
no. C-section is much more invasive than what you're doing
I
tomorrow.
Understand that it's a surgery. I get it. I know. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We don't need to revisit this conversation,
so this
all right?
It's coming back on you. And on top of that, when I went and got mine done,
I think,
like,
hold on. And I think what I said was, because I had had the kidney stone, which are often compared to the pain of childbirth, was that Heather couldn't necessarily relate because what I went through was much more painful. All right, I couldn't get it out with a straight face. I tried.
There you go. Yeah, Maura, you tried. Yeah.
I tried.
So when I went and got mine done, I had asked the doctor, I said, hey, does anybody go natural?
What?
Because, you know, I mean, women go natural through labor. It sounds like an exorcism. I mean, if you've ever heard it, it's awful. But so
you wanted
women,
to go, like, anesthesia drug-free?
Yes.
No numbing agent?
Yes.
What, are you insane?
So that's what I asked the guy. I said, hey, any guy ever gone, you know, like a woman does for for birth. Any guy right. ever gone?
What'd he say?
He said one.
What?
He was on the lamb, and he couldn't have a record of anything, and he paid cash, and it was early in his career. So, yeah. So that was it. He said the guy, I mean, he passed out. There was just no chance that he could
yeah.
Stay. Yeah, yeah. So as I said, I said to you Monday.
Why would you allow that?
He said he wouldn't do it again. It was early in his career. And, you know,
I was
the guy,
young. I needed the money.
Yeah, he was stuck. He was in a tough spot. So, okay, fine. Here you go.
That is really funny. Kudos to you. That's good. Good job, Brock. Thanks, buddy. That is vintage Brock Ewart to ask that question.
So do we think Kelenic's getting sent down?
No,
today?
I don't think he is necessarily. Okay. I think if I were Jerry, I would. I would do it. And again, it's not punitive. Jeff Passan was trying to make it seem like, you know, I was trying to blame Jared Kelenic for their struggles. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
This to me is about Jared Kelenic's personal development and letting him go down.
Does that development come? You said something yesterday and it stuck with me and I didn't fit it in yesterday on our podcast.
Rare.
And I know, because usually I do. And you said
rare that I say something that sticks with you.
Well, you and Howdy both said the same thing. Like, man, AAA is awful.
Terrible.
I mean, it's terrible. So when you say go down and develop, do you even develop at AAA?
I don't mean I just mean go down and get your confidence back. I don't think Jared Kelenic has a problem with who he is as a player. He's got a problem with his mental state.
I guess so. But I just don't know if that happens down there. I don't know if that happens going and playing a par 3 course and feeling great.
Really?
And then I got to go play from the tips at Sahale, and it's like, ugh, those
Well,
those
but it's
trees.
Better to just keep playing the tips at Sahale and knocking
know.
It into the trees?
I mean, I think a fair question, too, is how many times do you go back and forth? How many times do you get sent down? Or is it... Hey, man, this is going to be hellacious, but you just got to go through it here. I just don't think that there's healing. I don't think there's development. I don't think you're going to get better doing it at a lesser speed or anything, because you're going to have to hit this stuff, not that stuff. You're going to have to hit this stuff. So you're right. Psyche, confidence. Okay, you feel good. And then you come up and you go 0 for 18, and then what? Right? I mean, how much of that yo-yo back and
forth
versus...
Well, again, I would feel worse about that if it didn't work last year. He went down last year. He figured it out. He got his confidence back. He came up and he hit.
Yep.
I mean,
in September.
What I mean, like, that's invalidated in some way?
Well,
it's
I mean,
worth
September,
more.
In September, you get to face some teams.
Not as much as it used to be.
Okay.
And they were in it. I mean, that's not what... That just wasn't the reality of how it went for them in September. They were facing good teams heading to the playoffs, and they...
And big moments. He had some big moments. But, yeah, I mean, I think that that's what they're wrestling with. I think that's the hard spot that Jerry and Scott are in. Okay, mm-hmm. Does this truly help him? You know, we know his psyche. We know him inside and out. We know him better than anybody else. So I'm going to trust their decision in this. But is it really to go down and play at some of the altitudes you get to in AAA against some of the pitchers you get to face and go and feel good? And then all of a sudden, is that the kick in the pants that he needs? Or, hey, you did it last year. Your mom came and made you breakfast and it was all great. But you've got to do it this time at this level.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And to me, it's not a kick in the pants. It's not a wake-up call. It's not angry. It's not punitive.
It's just a confidence builder.
It's what Jerry DePoto said to us last week, that we will use the minor leagues as a life preserver. That was his quote.
Mm.
And I think that's what Kelenic might need. Just throw him a life preserver. Let the guy get back on the boat and get him get his feet set underneath him, and then let him jump back in. But just throw him a life preserver right now and let the guy kind of... You know, and unfortunately for Cal Raleigh, they don't have another catcher, but if they did, I would do the same thing.
Yep.
Cal Raleigh in AAA this year, in 7 games in AAA, is hitting .286 with a home run. In 13 games in the majors, he's hitting .065 with a home run.
Yikes.
You want to talk about the difference between the minors and the majors? .286 to .065.
Are we talking tuna or are we talking baseball?
I don't know. Why would we be talking? Oh, now we're back to being on the boat.
Yeah,
the
minors
preserver.
And the majors. Oh, has the fat in the minors. Oh, good fat in the minors. Isn't that what they do on Wicked Tuna? You were a star of Wicked Tuna for a while,
I was
right?
Not a star of Wicked Tuna.
Don't they take the belly fat and they look at it? Ooh,
they do.
A lot of fat in the majors and a little weak in the minors.
Maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe.
Okay.
Seahawks going to sign DK. It sounds like there's some momentum building. They're going to get that done now, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Good. I don't think he's going to be part of any trade. You know what a lot of the buzz in Bronco country is with Russell, though, don't you know? Right now, this day, a lot of the buzz is week one Sunday night football.
I know. That's what people are saying here.
Russell's return to Seattle.
It's a little early for it. Like, I want to get myself like 6-7 weeks in.
You sure?
Yeah.
I think the only stumbling block for NBC in the NFL and right. the decision makers and all that schedule comes out today. Yeah. I mean, don't you want them when the crowd is hyped?
Don't you want it on a September beautiful day?
Don't you want it with maybe the unknown of Drew Lock?
I want Russell coming in the rain where he struggles, playing a 2-4 Seahawks team that beats him and embarrasses him. That sounds much better.
That's right. I forgot about you. There's one agenda. It's not storytelling at the NFL. Good. Okay. You've wrote the script for every one of Russell's 16 games, haven't you? What time is that coming up? At 9 o'clock? Salt goes through every one of Russell's debacles starting.
No. We're not going to do that.
No, we're not doing that.
Okay. No, we're a happy, positive kind of show these days. Yes. Goodbye, Brock. We got to go talk to Bump.
Okay.
See you later. There you go. There's Brock Heward every morning at 7:45 and 9:30. And we put the poll out, but I think I screwed it up because I added an opportunity for people to say no reaction, and that garnering 33% of the vote. So just too much.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. People seem to people want to kind of escape the idea, I guess, of having to react to Russ. So I'll have to redo this. I screwed it up. This is on me. I'll take full responsibility. I screwed the poll up.
I don't know why it's a screw, because I'm not going to boo or cheer. So you just don't care because that's not the answer you want?
No, I just feel like it's a kind of a cop-out, right? Like, the idea is, like, how will you, like, is it a positive or negative reaction? And sort of no reaction. How do you have no reaction?
Yeah. The indifference, you mean? You can't be indifferent?
He was your starting quarterback for a decade, and he left.
Got his best years. See ya.
That's fine. I'm not arguing about the
indifference is the way you hurt an ex most.
Good point.
I don't even feel like you exist anymore.
Who are you?
Yeah. It's fake, though. It's fake. Like, I've seen swingers. I know it doesn't work. She doesn't come back around until you really believe it. So faking indifference doesn't actually work. You end up with the Mikey voice message scene where he's leaving her 35 messages in a row, and I have to fast forward because nobody can make it all the way through that scene a second
time.
All
the cringe.
Like, we all watched it the first time. There's no way you can get through it a second time. Sorry, I've had swingers on my brain. In fact, I was going to do it. I think maybe we'll do it tomorrow, but actually it's kind of irrelevant after the Jerry conversation. I was going to talk to you guys about sort of whether Jerry should double down today. And so I had some sound from swingers, right? His whole double down scene. And at the end, they call him double down.
Is it the Chase the Dragon conversation that you were trying to start the other day?
Yeah, a little bit. And I went, actually, I found, I think it was Entrepreneur Magazine or something like that. They had essentially rules for how to handle, like, when to double down, not just in blackjack, which I could go through those rules if you want, but when to double down in business and when to continue to bet on something that maybe isn't working necessarily the way you...
Like a Maggie's game.
Huh?
It's kind of full tilt.
Molly's
game.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right. And that's actually part of it. So I have it written down somewhere. But basically, their three rules were number one was have a strategy and stick to it. Number two is don't bet more than you're willing to lose. Mm-hmm. And number three was, I'm trying to remember this off the fly. Number three was don't bet everything on a hunch.
Got it.
Don't just follow your gut.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are good rules for gambling and blackjack specifically, but they're also more for business in this case, right? Have a strategy. Jerry's got a strategy. He knows the types of players he wants. He knows his draft and development and sort of what that plan is. Second of all would be was don't bet more than you're willing to lose. Don't put a kid in a deal that you're not willing to walk away from, right? If you're going to try to, you know, give yourself some reinforcements this year, you cannot throw more at the problem than you're willing to lose if it doesn't work and your team doesn't make the playoffs, that you're going to look back and go, oh my God, I can't believe we traded so-and-so. We really need them. And we did it for a year of this other player and we didn't make the playoffs. You can't do that. And you can't do it on a hunch. You can't guess, which they don't do in baseball really ever anymore. But I think it's good advice. And in talking to Jerry here today, I think we learned a lot about where he's at and kind of what he wants to do. He had told me a week ago that they wanted to use the minor leagues as a life raft for struggling players. I asked him if he still felt that way a week later.
No question. I more so. And you are quoting it correctly. And, you know, just it, help the player, you know, where meet them where they are. And you know, unfortunately, we have had such a rough stretch and such an inability to manage that roster because of some of the factors I just discussed, that we haven't had the opportunity or even realistically the chance to provide them with that breather or that reset. And we have to figure out how, because we have a number of players that need it, and we have to do the best we can to get them in a better place.
Yeah, and in my view, that's exactly what they've got to do. They've got 40-man issues they've got to work through, but they were meeting late into the night last night to figure out how to do that in order to get some players up here that can help them win right now. Because as he said, it's what they're doing right now is not working.
You know, it's challenging, and we're doing the best we can to come up with, you know, ways, at least short-term solutions, because long-term, we still believe in this team. This team is very talented. We do have a deep club, and unfortunately, in these last 15 days, if not the first month of the season, we've been tested to the brink, and we've not handled it well.
Yeah, well, I think anybody watching can agree with that and understand. And so, you know, they've got to figure something out now, right? They're facing a little adversity. They're starting to grip the bats a little tight. They're getting away from their process, not just the results, but the process kind of going in the wrong direction. And for Jerry DePoto, you know, that's not okay. And so maybe it's some minor league moves. Maybe there's something else and a player outside the organization they try to bring in. But I would keep my eyes peeled today and tomorrow for them to be active in some way, because, you know, you can't just allow guys to keep struggling their way through it. Eventually, for their own development and the sake of their own career and mental health, you owe it to your players to do what you can to help. And I thought that was one of the things Jerry said very well, is, you know, he can't just sit there being frustrated and mad like you and I could be. He's got to try to help these guys. And exactly, that's what the best managers and GMs do. They're not here to yell at the kid. How dare you strike out? I mean, that's not going to do anything. You're trying to figure out how to help and how you can work on their development, work on their long-term potential to get these guys back and doing what it is that they're great at. And in Jared Kelnick's case specifically, and he's not the only one, you know, you want to get the head back screwed on straight so that he can go out there and be the Jared Kelnick that has been one of the best prospects for the entirety of his career. And hopefully they can find a way to do that. Still a little Rankin.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list, I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, so this is kind of a delayed rank. What, in reaction to the weekend? Is that right? Or something else happened to make us think about horses today?
Yeah, partially the Derby, also partially, and I think maybe this is the reason that this list was posted, was because of the Derby. This website that I check all the time did all the horses of pop culture ranked.
Yeah, that list was dumb. I literally have never heard of the number one horse.
And the horse he rode in on. The horse. there's some in
here.
Who
was number one on that list?
Number one on this list, which I'm sorry, I've also never heard of, was Spirit. The buckskin stallion from Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron, is the perfect horse, it says.
That should invalidate anything else on this list, right?
Yeah, just move on. I mean, the Budweiser Clydesdales is on this list.
Good horses.
Like,
they're
number
beautiful.
24.
What? Whoa. The Clydesdales are 23 spots behind Spirit?
I can't stand for it.
I won't. Won't give this list any more publicity. They want you to talk about this stupid list. That's why we create lists that are much more sensible and that everyone can agree with.
And follow rules.
Despite the fact that noted hater Stacey Rost is in the other room right now tweeting about her dislike for the banana Pop-Tarts. I mean,
Stacey and I are on the same team.
Cool. Have fun on that team.
Have you found anyone else that has liked them yet?
That's why he likes it.
I mean, we're one box down, so everyone's tried them.
Chemical banana.
I don't think I have. Yeah. No, I think it's just me.
Taylor
wouldn't even
try
it. No, yeah. He hates banana flavor. Today I toasted the Pop-Tart. Yesterday I went frozen. Today I toasted it. It was delicious toasted.
Time to grill it.
Grill it?
Try it.
Is that a thing?
Try it. Just put it in the instant
smoke
pot.
It. Put it in the
instant pot for 10
put
minutes.
Put it in the smoker for an hour and a half and see what happens.
Try that too.
Mmm, smoky banana Pop-Tart. Yum. All right, horses ranked. couple did not make our list, although they were close. The Dark Horse, obviously Dark Horse candidate.
What?
Both Black Beauty and Black Stallion came close.
Not even Katy Perry's Dark Horse?
I don't know that.
Oh, Maura.
I know you're a big Katy Perry fan.
Yeah, how can you not be a Katy Perry fan?
Why did you say, oh, Maura?
Maura, give me sound so I can let you have a little bit of
I thought you were blaming
our...
Maura for me not knowing Katy
I was hoping
Katy
Maura's
going
to stick up for me a little bit.
I didn't work at Movin' for a decade.
Because I'm coming at you like a dark horse.
Nothing yet?
I don't know this one. It sounds kind of like Fire.
Well, I mean, not.
Yeah, I don't know this one.
Wait. There's no going back. How can you hate it, Zalk?
I don't hate it.
Okay, good.
Why would I hate it? I'm fine with Katie. I said I didn't know it, not that I hate it.
Okay, well, that's my dark horse.
I don't dislike things that I don't know. I generally need to know something to dislike it, and then I can dislike it a lot.
Aaron Goldsmith and I are both big Katy Perry stans.
Yeah, no, she's good. Number five, a little before my time, but you got to pay homage sometimes to the greats who came before you, the wonderful Mr. Ed.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give
this
you
song
the answer that you
all day.
He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed.
What's the guy's name? Wilbur? Wilbur.
It looks like we are the only people in the world who don't know Spirits, by the way, according to the text machine.
Well, there's three of us. I don't know.
Taylor, did Taylor know Spirit?
I don't know if Taylor knew Spirit. No.
There's four of us in the room. None of us have ever heard of Spirit. So take your...
Not the right age.
Mr. Ed, though. Taylor and I were just talking about it. It used to be on Nickelodeon at night when we were kids, and I loved it.
Number four for me is Seabiscuit.
Okay.
Because I really liked the book, and I felt like I learned a lot about the whole horse racing industry. It was really well done. So I got to give, the underdog story of Seabiscuit.
Wasn't that like Toby McGuire?
I didn't see
McGuire,
the movie.
I think.
Yeah, it was Toby McGuire. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the movie.
It's good.
Kind of confused Toby McGuire with Topher Grace ever.
No.
Nope.
Okay, just checking. Me neither. I don't either.
Oh, no, my man card's in question because I like Katy Perry and I ride a scooter, so.
Oh, your man card?
Yeah, it must be. Good Lord.
Oh, Justin, what are you going to do without your man card?
Oh, no.
Good luck getting home today. I hope you can get home without your man card.
Sorry, I'll go get my Harley shirt. Feel a little better about it.
Number three.
Wild horses.
Justin and Moore both don't like this song.
I'm just not a fan of this song.
It's fine. Pretty good song.
I had a...
The cover versions are much better.
The Sundays version is really good. Have you heard that?
Probably.
It's excellent. Her voice is great. I've never heard of any other song by the Sundays, but I heard their version just the other day again of Wild Horses. It's great.
Rolling Stones are great. I just had it ruined for me because there was like this Dave Matthews cover band that used to play at the
Oof.
Restaurant I worked at.
Oof.
I mean, that
this was like
sounds
the only
terrible.
Non-Dave Matthews song that they played, but they played it every week.
Yeah. No, that's bad. You don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
Something's happening to me, by the way. I don't know if I'm like going through something, but for the first time in my life, I've wanted to listen to like 80s British new wave depressing music.
Hmm.
Like Morrissey, the Smiths. It's like some psychedelic... Like, that's never been me. Ever. I actually like... I chose to listen to a song by The Cure. I don't know what's happening.
Wow.
I know. Something strange is going on chemically in my brain, obviously.
Told you it wasn't a phase, Mom.
Number two, and it's so close for number one, just because of its powers, the Trojan Horse.
Yeah, the Trojan Horse.
I mean...
Pretty good one.
Yeah, it's a good horse.
We still talk about it today in so many different ways. I fear Greeks, even those who bear gifts.
It's a good horse that most people probably wouldn't have thought of and left off their list.
People would have left. Well, that's on them. That's why we do very professionally, well-researched, accurate lists. And that's why the Trojan Horse is number two, because there's just no way I can go against the greatest horse of all time.
He's into the stretch. Secretary leads his field by 18 lengths. And now Price of Prince is taken second.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
25 is what it ended up with?
If that race had been another however long, he would have won by 50 lengths.
Didn't they end up finding out that his heart was just, like, way bigger than any other horse they've...
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, not a bad movie. Disney does kind of a cool story of Secretariat that's worth your time. I love the whole Secretariat stories. Before my time, I didn't get to see him race, but I love watching the videos, YouTube, whatever. The Belmont thing is incredible. The way he just keeps and like just keeps gaining in the lead, it's amazing. Also, how does the guy know that many lengths?
I was just going to ask that. Is it about poles? Are the poles on
maybe
the track?
I don't know. Like, distance? Oh, it's 20. Like, I get if you can know 1, 2, 3 lengths. How can you accurately determine 25 lengths of a horse? Pretty impressive.
Because it starts at 18, it's 22.
It's amazing.
This is in the 70s, right?
All right, we really got to get out of here. Jake and Stacy up next. We should probably take up some of their time since Stacy's being obnoxious about this Pop-Tart thing. But we'll be back tomorrow.
Or not, yeah.
All right, whatever. G. Scott will be in tomorrow, and we'll see if the Mariners make some moves. I have a hunch something's coming. Mike Salk Show here on Seattle Sports. See you later.